Matthew 22.
Matthew 2:2.
Now, this parable, I mean, remember that, again, for those, there's some new people, but remember the whole, all the only real things that have ever taken place in time were the feasts. Everything else is a vain shadow or a type, or like the tabernacles, every party, every bar, every nightclub is simply a vain shadow to try to duplicate the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the party to end all parties. It's the time. But Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. He was baptized in the Feast of Yom Kippur. He was transfigured and turned the water into wine in this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover, buried in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead in the Feast of First Fruits. And his seed was shed on all flesh in the Feast of Pentecost. So the celebration of the feast constitutes our life. This feast is the reason time and space exists, the Feast of Tabernacles. It lasts for 8 days. Something like 25% or more, 30% of the Gospels, the four Gospels, are about Christ and his activities attendant to the Feast of Tabernacles. You can't possibly understand what he was talking about unless you understand the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the feast lasts for 8 days, and so therefore the 8 days signify all of linear time. 7 days is linear time, 8th day is the Feast of Tabernacles. What you are doing this week in the Spirit is you are, during that time you had to live in these weird booths outside to signify that you're a pilgrim here, that this isn't your home. On the evening of the 7th day, which is the beginning of the 8th day, the booths were burned. Then they marched around the base of the altar with the ethrog, or the paradise apple, which was the pomegranate. And as the priests march around, they smashed the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil at the base of the altar so they could enter the 7th day, where they walked independence as a small child, no more judging for themselves good and evil. And for some of you, that's still where you are. Except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. And that little child must be in the state of no self-awareness. So for you, most of your efforts between now and Friday should be throwing that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil at the base of the altar and watching it smash. For others of you who believe this is your home, you need to symbolically, in the Spirit, watch and tear down that structure that you've been living in and burn it before you can enter the 8th day of the feast. During each of the evenings on the eighth, during this feast, the 7 days that have come thus far, the priests pour the water and the wine together into the base of the altar to signify why time and space exist. The human race is the water. It's turned into the wine. That's what Christ did at the marriage of Canaan. There's a ceremony that takes place in light or in combination with this, if you remember, where they take and light these humongous torches in the temple. And they use the scraps of the priests, the high priest's garments, as the wick. And they light that temple. They light these lamps within the temple. And the idea is that the light is so bright that it finds and exposes every corner of Jerusalem, so that there is nothing hidden any longer. It's all open. We're naked and unashamed in the Spirit. That's the other, that's what we need to do to enter this 8th day.
Yeah.
Now, the Talmud says that on each of these, well, let me just read what it says. Remember, there's a party every night of the 7 days of the feast when everybody is invited, the lame, the halt, the naked, the poor, the Levites. They even invited the Levites. And it says, this is a parable from the Talmud. It is it like a great king that said to his servants, make ready a great feast for these 7 days. But on the last day, he said to his friend, make ready some little matter, some intimate supper, that I may refresh myself with only thee. I have no advantage or real refreshment in the great feasts with them, but only in this little one with you. You understand?
That's on the eighth day?
Yeah, that's the eighth day feast. Then another one.
That's like the intercommunion
right. With
God himself.
Amen.
Just
thou seest, O God, that Israel in the Feast of Tabernacles offers before thee 70 bullocks for the 70 nations. On every day of the feast, starting with 13 down to 12, the 7 days, or whatever it is, anyway, there's a total number of 70 bulls offered during the course of the 7 days of the feast. The bull, the reason the bull was offered was because it was in the age of Taurus, and it represented the chief god of that age. So in that age, the bulls were offered for the 70 nations that existed, just like the Torah was given in 70 languages. And at the feast, or at the Tower of Babel, the languages were confused from the original Hebrew into 70 languages so that no one could communicate. Now, even in the apostate position of the nations, the bullocks were still offered, one for each nation. Okay? Thou seest, O God, that Israel in the Feast of Tabernacles offers before thee 70 bullocks for the 70 nations. Israel, therefore, say unto thee, O eternal Lord, behold, we offer 70 bullocks for these. It is but reasonable, therefore, that they should love us. But on the contrary, as it is written, for our love they are our adversaries. The holy blessed God, therefore, saith to Israel, offer for only yourself on the eighth day. Again, the 7 days, everyone is invited. That's what we are about. But on the eighth day, the door closes. And this is like a king who made a feast for 7 days and invited all the men in the province for these 7 days of the feast. But when these 7 days were past, he saith to his friend, we have done what is needful to be done towards these men. Let thee and me return to enjoy together whatever comes to hand. Let it be only 1 pound of flesh, or a small fish, or herbs only. And so the holy blessed God saith to Israel, the eighth day shall be a feast of a holy day. They offer 70 bullocks for the 70 nations to make atonement for them, that the rain may fall upon the fields of all the world. For in the Feast of Tabernacles, judgment is made as to the waters. God determines what rain shall be. Slowly but surely, the eighth day grew in esteem. Now, let's look and see what Christ said about this. This is all quotes from the Talmud. Matthew 22. He's just defined himself as the stone which the builders rejected in Matthew 21. And all of the priests and the Pharisees were furious. They were going to stone him. But they feared the multitude. So they didn't. Then he said, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in here, and not have a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Revelation 21, Revelation 19, define the wedding garment as righteousness, but it's not your righteousness. If you're coming into this feast with 1 ounce, one place where you can stand, one opinion, then you have on the wrong garment. You understand? You have no worthiness save His worthiness. You have no validity save His validity. That's the only garment that we can have on. If you don't have that garment on, you're cast. You're cast out. Do y'all understand what that garment means? Your need to be right is the false garment. Your need to have the doctrine right is the false garment. Come as the small child, no longer judging for yourself. Living in the moment of dependence in a loving Father is the only right garment. Mm-hmm. Your wrong garment is something called cause and effect. The garment gets more and more. I mean, He wants you to have the right undergarment on too. Now, most of your undergarments have been cause and effect, reward and punishment. No matter how much I talk to you, no matter how much you've heard of the cross, no matter how much you've seen of His grace, you secretly believe that in order to accomplish thus, you have to take this action. In order for that result to be seen, you have to take these steps. Well, that's Babylon. That's the whore. That's the opposite of grace. Now, that's one of the things we're going to leave at the door when we enter in. Feast. Now, some of you are still living in the fact that you believe you deserve to be punished. There are certain things deep within your being where you bought a lie that says you were separate and you were a bad person and therefore you have to be punished. Therefore, you've made the blood of Christ of none effect. That's the wrong undergarment to have on. That too will be left at the door. The only phenomenon that exists at the Feast of Tabernacles is mercy. Pure mercy. Where it's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. Now, that's all you need to know about the Feast of Tabernacles. You don't want to have the wrong garment on when you walk in the door. Now, the only thing religious allowed, and that it just starts the process, is the Hallel. The reason is that from when you enter that point and become as that small child, then you are in the same position that Paul spoke of. To the pure in heart, all things are pure. There is no such thing as a difference between natural and spiritual, between secular and religious. It's impossible. And therefore, all is spiritual. And therefore, you don't have a religious thing. You love God and have fun. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the problem is that when you enter the Feast of Tabernacles, most of you think that it is a moment, a little time, when you can rest and be free and have fun. God says that's your existence from now on. Never again do you have to go back and play the games of the Gentile mind. Never! So let's let this one have its permanent effect in your being.
Amen.
It's His good pleasure to give you all things freely. And you respond to the stimulus at hand, honestly, openly, without apology. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what I'm doing. But we know that when we see Him, at some time in the future, now in all things, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure. Do you see the joy of getting yourself out of the picture of the abandonment or denial of self? That's what we want to do. That's what the goal is, because of what He did. It's finished.
What you just said keep me on this. I just remembered this dream I had a couple of months ago. I told some people about it, old Pam and Larry. So we were coming to a party, the group. It was in this big white house. It was like a big modern white house. And you know, I can remember, you know, I was like a little bit late arriving, and I had on a suit, a business suit. It's like I'd come from work or something. But I didn't want to go in the house with the business suit on. And you were outside on the porch waiting. It's like you were waiting for me. And I told you I didn't want to go in the house with the suit on. And you said, I've got something for you. So you went and you got this coat. It was your coat. And, I mean, it was a ratty old coat. You know, but you gave it to me. And you said, I've been waiting to give this to you. And then we went in, and I can remember that I was preaching in the house.
Wow.
Just as a... This is in the Talmud. Rabbi Zakiah. He said, remember, Christ died, if we're right, in 30 A.D., not 33. So it says, and the temple was destroyed in AD 70. He said, 40 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And he said, I forgot to, this tabernacle's feast can only be celebrated in the temple. It doesn't exist without the temple. And the temple can't be defiled. If it's defiled, there's no temple any longer. So the Talmud says, 40 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, the gates of the temple opened themselves of their own accord. I mean, that's not a nice thing to happen. It happened at the cross. When Christ was crucified, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom and therefore exposed the Holy of Holies, therefore defiled it. But more... From our standpoint, the gates, all of the gates on the temple, the moment the veil was torn, opened automatically. And then it says, O temple, why dost thou terrify thyself? Because Christ redefined the temple. Now we are in the New Jerusalem, which is always around us. And this is the temple. Your bodies. Now, all of you know enough to have thrown out the wrongful inheritance. We just had the Feast of Yom Kippur. Well, the thing on the Feast of Yom Kippur is And it was a jubilee year when Christ was crucified. That meant that all the land was returned to its rightful owner. We just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, the Feast of Yom Kippur, when the land was returned. You may have forgotten. You forget it every now and then. Just like if you were the landowner that had been on there for 49 years, you forget you don't own it anymore.
Yeah, come home from work and go down the wrong road and end up back at your old place.
You're no longer he at the Feast of Yom Kippur. Christ returned to his land. You're this vessel. You don't own it any longer. He does. So get that through your thick skulls. Life will be a lot simpler. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen to the words. Sing it with understanding. For change.
Life from the city, break these bands. Stop it. Life from the city, not made with hands. When the light from the city finds me alone, it can open my heart, carry me home to the city, not made with hands. Heard a voice speaking as clear as a bell, saying, leave this place, it's a living hell. So I traveled west, the darkness fell, a long, long time ago. Over the mountains and a sea of grass, the next place ought to be better than the last. But the desert's too hot, the river's too fast, it's the same wherever I go. Stone on stone can't stand when the earthquakes, metal on metal brings nothing but cheers. Flesh and bone can't live when the living takes all of my strength, leaves only fears. I cry in the night, not stop until the promised land's in sight. Wherever it is, the city of light. Put down roots to begin again. I felt like the walls were closing in. They were paying me five, but I wanted ten. I thought it was time to move on. Thousand lightning were flooding the road, looking for a place to rest their load. But the jobs were taken, the fields were hoed, promises broken and gone. Stone on stone can't stand when the earth breaks, metal on metal brings nothing but tears. Flesh and bone can't live when the living takes all my strength, leaves only fears. Cry in the night, I'm not stopping till the promised land's in sight. Wherever it is, city of light. Light from the city, break these bands. Light from the city, not made with hands. When the light from the city finds me alone, it can open my heart, carry me home to the city, not made with hands. The voice spoke, I didn't have to ask it. Time of wandering was over at last, but it looked no different the places we passed. All along the way, the voice said, you've taken years to learn. It's under your feet at every turn. Now stand up and look around you. The promised land has found you. Living stones don't fall when the earthquakes. Tested gold does nothing but shine. When your soul's poured out and the spirit takes all your tears, you can leave them behind. You cry in the night, you're not stopping till the promised land's in sight. Well, here it is, the city of light. Well, here it is, the city of light. Me alone, can open my heart, carry me home to the city, not made with hands, to the city, not made with hands.
Yeah. Okay. Is that all the groups meeting tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody, huh? Not yours?
What do you want? Since we talked to Tim and Patty and Powell, figure out.
Oh, okay.
It's a good time.
Anybody have anything else?
Yeah, one quick thing. Beth and I just exchanged a look because coming back from the camp the other day, we were listening to a music tape. And it was music by a guy named Van Morrison. And virtually every night for 5 years when I got stoned, I would listen to the same song over and over and over. And it somehow did something. But the refrain at the end of the song is, no matter what happens, I'm going to keep walking down the street until I see the shining light. And as we just sang the song, she looked at me and I looked at her and I went,
amen. Take it, big guy.